Blog Talk Radio.
Is the word that we bring unto you. So
again, we thank God that we're here. Also, like to give out our call-in number. Should you be listening to this live, to this session, you can call us at 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. Also, you can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. N-E-T. So thankful for that. So we thank God that we're here. So we have been talking for better than 10 weeks, maybe 12 or so, on the subject, the Godhead. So we still want to say some more about that. That definitely is a subject that cannot be exhausted. So, talking about our great God, who is the head of all things, and definitely can't exhaust that subject. So we thank God for it. So knowing that Jesus is coming soon, it may be morn, it may be night or noon, but Jesus is coming soon. So we are living in the last days, and so we're seeing so much happen in the world, even in the church world. Jesus said, false Christ, false prophets shall arise, shall deceive many. So we're seeing so many things that are going on. So the truth is in Jesus. So he is the center of attraction. He is the one that came to give his life a ransom for many. He is the good shepherd of the sheep, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So we have to always bear in mind that it's not about us, but it's about him. So many are exalting themselves, crowning themselves with the office of apostles and prophets nowadays, and that's what we're built upon, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So the foundation has already been laid. Apostle Paul said in the first, in second and third chapter of 1 Corinthians, you can read about that and about the foundations, and no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So we also, the church, is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So that's already been done. And the apostles, even Apostle Paul had wrote in one of the letters to the Corinthians, said that they were appointed as unto death, how they were offscoring to the world, like fish scales. You scrape that off, you don't want that. So they were appointed unto death, and so it was the office of an apostle. There were eyewitnesses. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, and also they died horrible deaths. So you don't appoint yourself to death. Nobody does that. Now the Lord did that for him, and he also appointed death to himself. That's why he came into the world, to die, so he could save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to give his life a ransom for many. What other man have you ever read about came on the scene, talked about his own death? And Peter, when he gave him the keys to the kingdom of heaven in the 16th chapter of Matthew, Peter began to tell him that these things weren't going to be. he turned around and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So he was talking to that spirit that was using Peter. "Oh, you're not going to do this. We don't want to see you die." But that's why he came. So you got to understand what the word of God is saying about that. So that statement that I just made, you can find that in Matthew, the 16th chapter. And some things had happened. And so Jesus had asked them a question. "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So notice he's still talking to Peter. "I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he, this is Jesus, his disciples, that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, if you've been following this session alone, you've heard me make that statement before. His name is not Jesus Christ, but his name is Jesus the Christ. So, or he is the Christ. It doesn't matter. Anyway, he's Jesus the Christ. He's Jesus. That time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples. Remember what I said? How that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, who have you ever heard came on the scene talking about their own death, that they came to die, that they came to give their life a ransom? Nobody but Jesus. So that's the Lord himself. So then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." So Peter didn't want to see him die. But he turned and said unto Peter, he Jesus, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." So what he was saying was he didn't want Jesus to die. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with the angels, and then shall reward every man according to his works. Verily, verily, I say unto you," this is Jesus still talking, "there shall there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." So, you know, right after that, he was transfigured right before their face in the 17th chapter of Matthew. Anyway, so today we're still talking about the Godhead. So on today, where we want to bring our lesson to is out of the book of Titus. So, you know, we have three, at least, pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon also. So Apostle Paul wrote to these young pastors and let them know about things that were going on and how things that they had to do, especially to Timothy, saying the things that you heard of me among many witnesses. He told Timothy, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So there was no need. So if you followed what he said, this was a man that sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He knew the law. He was a Pharisee, and he was of the tribe of Benjamin, and he definitely knew about the law and about Judaism. So they would have followed what he said, and even today, people would follow what the writings of the Apostle Paul, who was the apostle to the Gentiles. They would not be in error, and definitely that Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, which he was the last apostle. He was one of the ones. He didn't personally walk with the Lord Jesus Christ like the rest of the apostles, but he did see him. That was one of the signs of being an apostle, is that you had to see the Lord. So the Lord appeared unto him. He let him see him. And he had an awesome job that he had to do. He had to bear his name before the Gentiles, or before kings, and before the children of Israel for the Lord's sake. So it was an awesome job that this man had to do. But he was definitely dedicated to the work that the Lord had for him. And you can read about him, Apostle Paul, who wrote these letters, and that, like I said, even today, Titus, out of the book of Titus, where we're going to be bringing our thought on today, he wrote that as well. And you can read about him, his conversion in the 9th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, in the 22nd chapter, and in the 26th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. You can definitely read about him and the type of man that he was, and how God got his attention and changed his mind and dropped from his, he was Saul of Tarsus, and how he dropped the S from his name and added a P, and we know him as Saint Paul, or we know him as the Apostle Paul. So he was definitely a dedicated man. Great revelations that the Lord showed this man. Even one time, 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he was saying, I knew a man in Christ, whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. And he was talking about how he was caught up to heaven, and he saw things that were not lawful for man to utter. So he goes on here. Even before that, he was just saying that he was coming in the meekness and gentleness of Christ. But anyway, he goes on to say, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man. Notice what he's saying, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmity. But though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, notice the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon thee. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I you have, I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Now, you know the ones that were before him, Peter and John. Truly, he says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought in me, were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. What is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you. I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children are not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Anyway, he going on here. So we see this man did not exalt himself, but the man that he was talking about that he knew and the abundance of revelations and all, he was talking about himself. But look at the way that he done it, that he talked about himself. Look at his humility when he talked about himself or his experience that he had in the Lord. So he definitely knew what he was talking about. Also, I want to go back, rewind a little bit. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, when he talks about the resurrection, and it talks about Christ dying. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, but which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that he was seen of Cephas, then of all, then of the 12. Now Cephas is Peter. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. He was talking about they died in Christ. But okay, the significance is, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Remember, that's one of the signs, that you had to be an eyewitness. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. So he's talking about himself. Then he goes on, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle. Because, he says, I persecuted the church of God. Excuse me. So, I'll go back over that again. Last of all, he was seen of me, also as of one born of out of due time. I am the least of, notice that word, the apostles. I'm the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. They who? The apostles. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So anyway, so he is letting people know about the significance of the death, of the burial, of the resurrection from the dead, how Christ was the first fruits of them that slept. afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. So in other words, he got up. We're going to get up too. So he had victory over death, hell, and the grave. Nobody, no grave could hold his body down. So this is the important thing nowadays. And so it's just so sad when you see people magnifying themselves, because I'm telling you, brothers and sisters and ladies and gentlemen and everyone that is under the sound of my voice, it is not about us. It's about Jesus. It's not about us thinking we are so important, because God does not have to have us. I can walk away today, and if I did walk away, the word of God is right all by itself. And God never left himself without witness, or we say a witness. So God's word is so very important. So this is what we have to do. Search the scriptures, because the answer that we all need is in the word of God. So that's what's so very important. So today, what we are endeavoring to do is to still talk about the Godhead and knowing, like I said before, should you be a new listener or just by way of remembrance, the word Godhead is only found in three scriptures in the Bible, and that is, the first one is in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 17-29. And then the next one, found in the book of Romans 1 and verse 20. And then the last mention of the term, the Godhead, is found in Colossians 2 and verse 9. Okay, so today what we want to do, we're talking out of letting you know another attribute or another office or another way that the Lord manifested himself. So today we're going to be talking about, actually this text out of Titus, the second chapter, is talking about God bringing salvation, about his grace. So we're going to talk about grace, he's bringing salvation, and also his glorious appearing. So it's only going to be one. So just like I said, the Lord himself shall descend. We know God is so high and lifted up. You read in the Psalms, he's so high that he has to humble himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. So he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. With who? The dead in Christ. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So right now, they're not in heaven. Church people are not in heaven. Only one man got caught up. That was Enoch. And Elijah got caught up in a whirlwind. Enoch was caught away. Moses is buried. He's coming back, him and Elijah, and preach in the tribulation period in Jerusalem. He's going to preach the everlasting gospel. So ain't no this lie that people have come up with, they can't find no scripture to substantiate it. Ain't going to be no, as they say, St. Peter at the gate to let you in. No, Peter going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air like everybody else. So that is not true. So ain't no, he got to let you in. No, he got the keys. He had the keys. He already performed his job doing his ministry in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. He was the first spokesman because he had the keys. In the 8th chapter of Acts of the Apostles down in Samaria, Peter and John had to go there and lay hands on them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And in the 10th chapter of Acts, Peter had to go down to Cornelius' house because he was the man that had the keys. And what is biblical language? mean that Peter had the keys. Peter had the power and the authority to open up the church. Not no keys in his pocket, but he had the power and he had the authority. God has committed this ministry into the hands of men. Men, this ministry is in their hands. So he chose those 12. He gave them instructions on what to do. He gave Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So after it had been opened up on the day of Pentecost, there were Jews from every nation under heaven. You can read in the first chapter of Acts and the second chapter. So here we hear every man in their language wherein they were born, from every nation under heaven. So then down in Samaria, which was a mixed breed of people, when they received it, Peter had to be there. Then in the 10th chapter of Acts, Apostle Peter was there, so it was opened up. Lastly, to the Gentiles. So in the 19th chapter of Acts, Apostle Paul was there. And he passing through the upper courts at Corinth, he saw certain disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They went on to say, we have not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He asked them, how then were you baptized? They said unto John. Said John said they should truly believe on him who should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this is in the 19th chapter of Acts, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Paul laid his hands on them, and they spake in tongues and prophesied. That word prophesied means preach. They spake in tongues and they preach. So that's why in Joel 2 and 12, the prophecy was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. It shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Upon my servants and my handmaids, where I poured out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. That means they shall preach. So this is what happened. So a little bit of history about Apostle Paul. Now, you want to read about his conversion. It's all the self-same thing. He was just in the 9th chapter of Acts, little man, little unknown preacher by the name of Ananias, who was afraid of him. 3 days later, after Apostle Paul was blind, when he fell off his beast and said, who art thou, Jehovah? Jehovah said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute, and it's hard to kick against the pricks. It fell on him like he was blind for 3 days. When he got there on that street called Straight, Ananias came in and said, the Lord, even Jesus, have appeared unto me. Thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Immediately there fell, as it were, scale from his eyes. He arose and was baptized. So in the 22nd chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, in the 9th chapter and the 26th chapter, when he stood before King Agrippa. So how was he baptized? Said, arise, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It's in the name of Jesus. You've got to be born again. Got to repent of your sins. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. God promised to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when they received the Holy Ghost, anywhere in the scriptures, they spake in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that is the new birth, being born of water and the Spirit. Of water and the Spirit, knowing in the water, the virtue, what makes the virtue in the water is when the name of Jesus is called over you to wash away your sins. So this is why Peter wrote in his book, he was talking about it in the days of Noah, the long-suffering God of God waited, and few, that is, eight souls, talking about Noah and his family, were saved by water. He goes on to say, the like figure doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a clear conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, angels and authorities being made subject unto him. So That is the new birth. And so this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the only one who can save you. Now, all these other people, these so-called prophets and people that you hear about, people talking about, they're given allegiance to and honor to and all that, they haven't died for nobody. It wasn't written about them to die and come and give their life a ransom. Neither did they rise from the dead. So the only one who is God, who's qualified to be called God, because he is God, because he prophesied of his own death, because he made himself a body, and he came and fulfilled his word and got up from the dead on the third day, just like he said he would, and his name is Jesus. He said, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. So in other words, he has the power and authority. He took the keys, he took the power and authority from the devil. And that, so, and you can read that. Let me run over there right quick into the book of the Hebrews. So this is why he came, to give his life. So it goes on to say, for as much then, talking about he had, the devil had the power of death. So Hebrews 2 and 14, excuse me. So anyway, so it's like we actually, like I said, when you have to go way back, because he made himself a body and everything. And so in the book of Hebrews, anyway, we go on here. But what I want to start at verse 9, Hebrews 2 and 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Remember, I told you he made himself a body, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Who are we talking about? Jesus. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So remember, that's one of Jesus' titles. He's the captain of our salvation. He is the apostle of our profession. He is the bishop of our souls. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. He is the great high priest. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. So anyway, he says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brother, and in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And this same quote in the 22nd chapter of Psalms, I will declare thy name in the midst of the congregation. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Here it is right here, what I wanted to get to. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, talking about the human family, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Okay, what did Jesus do? Here's what he did. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. So in other words, he took on a human body. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself suffered being tempted, talking about Jesus, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor means to help. So this is the kind of God that we are talking about. So our time is far spent. Just want to lay that little foundation. So We want to go on over to the pastoral epistle, Titus, the second chapter, and deal with our thought that we're dealing with on today, showing that he is still the God of all things. So he, the Apostle Paul, gives instructions to Timothy in his first two books, and also in Titus. He has three chapters in his book that he is speaking things about. And, I mean, we can get into some of these. And a real preacher, he would have these qualifications. So, but anyway, he goes on to say to Titus, Apostle Paul, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now, people don't want to, they don't like that word doctrine, or they use words like indoctrination. You want to be indoctrinated into Jesus. You want to know what he said, because he's the one you're going to be standing before. Seventh chapter of Matthew, remember? He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name done many wonderful works. In the name of Jesus, he said, say to me, not to us. So they, I profess unto them, ye workers of iniquity, depart from me. Ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. So you want to know of a surety that you are doing the right thing, serving God the right way. And that is, you got to worship him in spirit and in truth. You got to be born again. The apostles' message is right. The apostolic, we call it the apostolic doctrine. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets to be apostolic. Even there are other churches say that. They don't understand what they're talking about. But to be apostolic means to be like the apostles. So those are the ones he chose. He gave them what to do. So anyway, he goes on here. He's given a instruction. So speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, nor teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not pilloring, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. So here is the part that we want to get to on today. We have our tags in our lesson on today out of Titus, the second chapter. And that is verse 11, Titus 2 and 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So he goes on here. This is his charge to Titus. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So here's what we are talking about. His grace and everything. But, okay, verse 13 is what we're going to zero in on. So He's telling them, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, this is what God's grace does. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice, there is no comma in between there. He is the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we have been in the book of Isaiah reading scriptures, especially the 42nd, 43rd, 44th, 45th chapters of Isaiah, when the Lord was saying that I'm God, I'm He, there's none else, there's none beside me, there's one none with me, there's none before me. He said, I don't know of any. Is there a God after me, before me, beside me? I don't know. And God knows everything. So the answer is, I can tell you, no, there is no other God besides the Lord Jesus Christ. After you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah no more in the Bible, because Jesus is Jehovah, who is become our salvation. This is why he came. So this is, he is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. He is the one that came to save us from our sins. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But the Lord himself is the one that done this. So this is what we have to get an understanding of. So we don't necessarily, doesn't make sense to some people. They don't get it because they think, because they've been taught that lie about that great monstrosity known as the Trinity, which there is no such term in the Bible. God is one. The devil knows that there is one God, and he trembles. James 2 and 19 says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils, plural. In other words, all them ones under Satan, they believe and tremble. Remember, we talked about the father of lies and all of that in the 8th chapter of St. John. So the devil knows there's only one God. He's only, that's all he's ever seen was one. But he has people believing that there is more than one. So he's a liar and the father of lies. So he knows that there is one God. And so that's why we always try to let you know that. And so in the scriptures, where you're going to find salvation is in the Acts of the Apostles, where you're going to find salvation. So after you are born again, then the children's bread is yours, the meat of the letters, the meat of the Pauline epistles is yours to get in and read. And that is, after you read the book of Acts, salvation is in the book of Acts, the name of Jesus, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, the born-again experience that even under the law, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four gospel writers, wrote about the one gospel. They let you know things that you had to do. And the Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles and also the book of St. Luke. He was the beloved physician. So he put it all together. He let them know to go to the city of Jerusalem, wait till they be endued with power from on high. Jesus opened their understanding, said that thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Behold, I send my promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, Tell you be endued with power from on high. So this is exactly what they did. And so that's why they were in an upper room. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as a fire. That word clothing means divided. Set upon each of them, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them to utter. Or what to utter? Or utterance. They spake in other tongues. They spake in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. So you go on near the end of the chapter in Acts. And so that's why they said, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Not your sins, but for the remission of sins. So it's so very important. Sometimes we say words, but there are sins of the human family because of Adam. So that's why they had to be baptized. So your sins have to be washed away. And the only way that can be done is in the name of Jesus. And so he goes on. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children, talking about the Jews, to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Okay, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So this is on the first day. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So what is that? That's the apostles' doctrine. We call it the apostolic doctrine. And so they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or their teaching that Jesus taught them what to do and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And so they had a fear on them. The fear came on every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. So they loved God, and they thought the Lord was coming back. They sold everything they did, they had, and distributed to every man as they had need. So, praising God, they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking the bread from house to house. They'd eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So this is what they did. So this is where, like you, I've said before, salvation is in the acts of the apostles, the acts of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was working in the apostles. So this is where salvation is. So after you're saved and you're in a church, God set the solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. Dry land is a desert. In the desert, there's no living water. Where there's no living water, you will die. So this, no man is an island. So you're in the church. And so you've got to be in a church. You have to be in a local ministry. So then you're able to be taught. So this is why he gave some apostles, some prophets. Notice the word some. We know they're gone. Some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. The pastor is the teacher in the local assembly. So why did he do that? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, that we be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, by the sleight of man, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him who is the head of all things, even Christ. That's the word, grow up, a perfect man. Self same word, maturity. You gotta mature in Christ. So that's why we like to make the statement in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, It's so very important because it's echoing, we're echoing the same thing that we're talking about the one God in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. We know our time is just about gone on today. So Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So he's talking about believers that have already been born again. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. You can read this in the 68th Psalm, right where I made the quote about the Psalm 68 and verse 6. God setteth the solitary in families, brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. That quote is in there. He that ascended, what is it that he also descended? First into the lower parts of the earth. A question, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And then so this is where we get the quote. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. No, there's no comma in between pastor and teacher. It is not a five-fold ministry. It is a four-fold ministry. In the local church, the pastor is the teacher in the local church. So it's so very important. So this is, we're telling you, and so you can read here. And what is the subject? The subject is Christ. Christ the Lord. Christ Jesus. Jesus the Christ is the subject. He is the one that grace and truth came by, Jesus Christ. He is the one that bought salvation, and ultimately he is the one that's going to come back and claim his prize. So this is why First Thessalonians the fourth chapter says, if you believe that Jesus died even and rose again, even though them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So it says, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. And he went on to say, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, my brothers and sisters and ladies and gentlemen, we thank God that you were able to tune in, if you're able to tune in live with us on today. And so till the next time, we want you to believe God and remember that faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we'll talk to you on next time. God bless. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you.